Hello and welcome to the 23rd episode of the newly sponsored Conister Bank Manx Footy Pod. For this week's podcast, myself and Dave.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by Peel Saint Germain duo Gary Christian and Connor Keenan to discuss the bizarre world of mountain football. Right, chaps, before we delve into the story of the original PSG, I'm going to say, before you've just told me you were PSG before they got money, weren't you, basically, lads?
Yeah, I think Sheikh Mansour wasn't sure which way to go.
So, have I pronounced that correctly? I went German, but is it German? Blue Peel St. German?
What, it depends how many drinks you've had. Either way.
Well, we must start with our weekly biscuit review. Did you hear it last week, Dave? Did you hear the podcast? You actually texted me, said you listened to the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You
were
on my own in Middlesbrough in a bedroom with Mark Kelly and Paul Jones. Sounds as dodgy as it was.
An interesting insight into Norwegian skiers and Ewan Jonesy's relationship, I think.
No biscuits in the Holiday Inn Express.
No
complimentary biscuits, lads. You know when you went, we're going to talk about this a bit later, but you've been away recently, haven't you? Were the biscuits in the room?
There weren't really, were there?
This is a problem. I think this is something that we should tackle as a society, that biscuits are now being phased out of bedrooms.
So tell us about what you've gone for
today. So today, as we're newly sponsored by Conister Bank, another plug for them, I've got some of the budget, and I've bought some Thornton's chocolate caramel wafer rolls, which essentially look like posh fingers. Now, Connie, you had one before we kicked off.
I was a big fan of them, actually. I definitely recommend them.
Ooh, they would taste a lot. You can have one,
Dave. I think I'll have to, yeah.
Gary, have you had one?
No, I haven't got one. Give it a go.
They're all right. Come on.
Cheers.
I'm not sure about the box. I don't know why it's got that purple bit on it. That would put me off.
Turkish delighty, that, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Purple looks classy and regal, doesn't it? Like bump up the cost to make it Thornton's.
But no, I like that. They're good. I would recommend them. Anyone passing a co-op or other establishment, they're £1 at the moment.
Well, thank you to Conister Bank, because a couple of weeks ago we had the Malford Nuts.
They were 45p.
45p, and now we've gone for these. So.
God, this is where the money's going, Andy. Yeah, thank you very much.
Already going for the world.
Right, so Gary, I suppose for some people, heinously, might not know what Peel St. Germain's about, really. So I think we should start at the beginning. It's as good a place to start as any, and you should sort of explain to the three that listen to the podcast what's it all about.
It's basically something that's got out of hand. it was an excuse to go away drinking with your friends and have a game of football that's kind of ended up with us being international football stars, rubbing shoulders with the elite of world football, the next president of FIFA, former captains of Russia, all just...
Is that Russian or Russia?
Well, yeah, Russian's a dirty word. Former Peel player, don't forget.
It sounds like a celebrity stack, do
it? No, it does. It's, we started going away to play at Tranmere, just as lots of people over here have done. It's like, I don't know, 200 quid to hire the pitch. It was the worst pitch in the entire world. Have a game of football, hack about, go for a few drinks around Liverpool. So next year we thought, that was pretty good fun, that. What else can we do? So emailed loads of clubs. Turned out Preston came back and said, you can play there. So it's like, oh, cool, that's like better ground. Mm. Filmed it for us. Oh, can't get any better than that. Next year, where else can we go? Did Sunderland the following year.
Right.
Which was a disaster.
Oh, right.
Travelling up, basically.
That's a long haul. Last week, and it was
travelling up on the minibus. We got to about
a lot of time to drink.
We got to about Leeds, and we got a phone call through, and they said, "Sorry, lads, like your game's off." And we were like, "What? You can't do that." We've kind of travelled all the way over to the Isle of Man, and said, "Yeah, like the pitch is really bad." So what else can we do? Surely there's got to be a way we can get this on. They said, "Well, there is. You can play at 7 in the morning." So it was either like 7 in the morning or we don't play at all. So being the consummate athletes that we are, straight out in Newcastle.
You didn't go to bed, did you? You just turned up.
One of the boys didn't actually go to bed. He ran from the middle of Newcastle. I think we stayed in Jesmond, which is on the outskirts. And he turned up running, which is a good like 3-4 miles out. Just caught the coach on the way there.
Right.
With a disaster. This is where my quote, we are no longer the worst team to ever play at Sunderland. No one actually remembers the game. We played this terrible team and got battered about 4-0.
Where did you get the opposition? Sorry, Conor. Obviously, you've travelled over a squad. Do you just...
Previously, we played like the same team you'd actually played for against us.
Oh, Foxdale,
Played them a couple of years. Mm. And then they kind of... They turned a bit soft, basically, and let their better halves get involved, weren't allowed to go away, started moaning and all sorts. So yeah, in previous years, then we played at Wolves against a team in my mates from university, and then Sunderland, they just found a team for us to play. So yeah, we'll play anyone. We're no good. We're yet to ever properly win a game, but we'll carry on turning up until... I'd like to think we'll still be rocking around when we're about 50 years old.
Who was that to run for the coach, by the way? That was before my time.
Stephen Quirk. Most of our guys aren't known footballers. Some of them have never even played for a club. Some of them have never even kicked a football particularly well.
I think there's hope for us here, Dave.
Yeah, there is.
I have to say, yeah, no, we'll have to say, last year I played against these lads in for Matty in the Mega Bowl. I would describe it often on the podcast as the Foxdale Tournoi. Remember I said it was one of my greatest ever sporting moments?
Of course.
Playing
at
Billy Goat Cart. Yeah. Rock. Pitch wasn't marked, was it?
No, it was, we had flights out though.
It was like the fifth day in the Gabba after in Perth, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, the referee was a bit like, is that out, is that in?
Yeah.
I remember there was no box, so I didn't know if I could come for it and catch a football or, you know.
Oh, I just thought you didn't go off your line.
A bit of column A, a bit of column B there, Gary.
Yeah.
But we won 3-2, amazingly.
Wow, so you're obviously the good luck charm.
Well, I'd like to say, I think I pulled off one half-decent stop, but the rest of it, the fact we had Gary Quirk, Ian Kirk, former Premier League players that were in our... Well,
wingers aren't allowed.
Yeah, well, there was no touch lines. We thought we'd take advantage, to be honest. But yeah, I think they might have tipped it in our balance.
So not one of your customary star jumps when you were goalkeeper?
No, I didn't get any star jumps in. There was a, tell you what, there was a good spread in the Baltic afterwards.
They did, yeah. It was when the road was closed as well, wasn't it?
So
it was
like a street party.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. So talk about the tournament then. We're talking about Mountain Football. You obviously have done these games in various English Football League grounds. So now you've gone further abroad now.
Yeah, so basically we run out of places in England that let us play on their pitch. So one of the boys saw this picture on the internet of this wonderful looking pitch up in the mountains, said, why don't we play there, just taking the mickey. So me taking the bait, where's that? Straight on the internet, found it, sent them an email, pretty much said, can we play on your pitch please? And this like strange Swiss guy called me back a few days later. Said, oh yeah, of course you can. Sort of, we actually hold this tournament. You can come over and have an exhibition game before that and play as the Isle of Man. So I said to the boys, like, wow, what, you won't believe this. So everyone was up for it. He then phoned back about 2 weeks later and said, oh, by the way, lads, well, obviously he didn't say lads because he's Swiss and he's whatever the German equivalent might be. We're having trouble with the English FA because they're we're trying to get an England team.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about insurance and how to evacuate people off the mountain. We don't really want any of that fuss. Do you guys fancy being England? So I went back to the boys again, you won't believe this. So, basically thought, yeah, all lads on board. Booked our flights, off we go. And as I mentioned before, speaking off air, we didn't know what on earth we were getting involved in. We literally turned up at the bottom of this cable car. We were going to this place that you can't drive a car to. It's like the top of a mountain. Never met anybody. It just sounded so far-fetched. We weren't sure if we were going to get basically raped. I'm not sure if we can say that. If it was going to be hostile and we were going to be murdered. Yeah. We had not a single clue. So up the mountain this cable car goes and we're all thinking, what the bloody hell's going on here?
Mm.
And at the top there's all these nice fellas in this lovely little village who basically handed us booze and we got on really well. Played a football match and lost.
So what year was that going?
Oh, 2015 I think. One, yeah. Yeah, I think it is, yeah. We've got a top say in 2015. We've got more kit than you can believe. Basically, we were out till about 2-3 in the morning on this like random balcony on this chalet in Switzerland in the top middle of nowhere, drinking away quite happily and made our international debuts the following day. Lost 9-1.
Close game.
I think we were in it at one point. It was 0-0.
Yeah.
Who scored the first ever?
It's actually a guy from away called Alan. He's our one genuine England player. maybe one of our less talented footballers, I think it's fair to say, and that's
comfortably the worst.
That's fairly damning praise as well. He scored. We got on really well with the organiser and the lads, the Swiss guys. People had come over from Holland to come and watch us, and Italy, they'd actually travelled to just come and watch us. Because we got on so well, we probably spent a small fortune in the village on alcohol and food as well. So they probably thought, yeah, these lads are all right, we'll invite them back.
So Connor, talk about, we've got a tournament coming up this summer, haven't we? Now, I've said in the on Twitter and stuff that you're building up to the 2020 European Mountain Championships.
Yeah.
So this summer you've got a tournament in Italy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it's as I say, it's the 2020 Euros. Yes. So my first involvement was sort of the year after Gaz, really. Was the 2016 Euros, which was in France, which was equally crazy, to be fair, wasn't it?
Well, that was your first experience. You didn't quite know what was
going on. No, I didn't know what I let myself in for. I didn't realise how bad we were. I thought we had a chance. And then we lined up in the first game against these Russian fellas who were all about 9 foot and about 25 stone. Went out and they could play as well, weren't they?
Well, we'd heard a few rumours they were decent.
They had four ringers. They had four guys who played for them at Euro 2004. and like I say, we had us basically. So that was that. But as I say, the Euros in 2020 are our sort of next.
Yeah.
Target.
But yeah, like I say, we've got a tournament in Italy as well.
So tell us about that. I think Gary's saying off air this, but the Peru are getting involved in that
Peruvians.
One.
Yeah, we've got the Peruvians in Italy. It's Arrigo Sacchi,
right?
Italian coach, has a soccer school basically. But I think it sounds like it's for kind of like refugees type sort of people. And one of them is this Peruvian school, so it's like a Peruvian Arrigo Sacchi football school that we're sort of playing against.
You'll be going against the next number of Solano, basically.
Yeah.
Hit them like some heavily hungover, like, fat Manx lads, basically chasing around after 17-year-old Peruvian. It's going to be ruining his career before it begins.
I'm also going to think, but Peru, it's got the mountain range, which I forgot at the moment.
The high altitude training.
Yeah, they're probably going to be used to playing in high altitude. I'm guessing you lads aren't, when you're playing in Peru.
Have they ever played hungover? That's the thing.
Can they do it?
Yeah.
So now I know the Otmar Hitzfeld. Is that the arena you were talking about before? That's artificial, isn't it?
That is artificial. Yeah.
So, but I've seen in the pictures from your last tournament that it was grass, and it looked like.
Well, it wasn't grass,
wasn't it?
It maybe started off as grass. There was a deluge on the first night.
The Morzine one, I think France had like the worst floods in the history of the country, like the week before we went up.
But surely that played into your hands. We're used to waterlogged pitches.
It might have done so. We don't know. We lost the first game 10-0, so whether it would have been worse. It's only like, was it 22 and a half minutes each way?
That was the Russian ringers, though.
Like I say, we'd heard this Russian team are handy, and I went to, when I got there, obviously we were all quite well intoxicated after the coach journey. So we went to this like big hall, and actually I got beckoned into a meeting as the organiser. And they were like being very serious about the diameters of the pitch and like what are the diameters of the pitch, how long is like really, and I'm just thinking, just let me out of here, I just want to go and have a drink with the rest of the boys. And they made their team go to sleep at 7 o'clock. They had a curfew 7 o'clock in the evening.
And
the Russians in 2016, they had a bigger backroom staff than we had number of players. So they turned up with like dietitians and nutritionists and all this stuff.
Video analysts.
They had a curfew of like 7 in the evening, we were like 7 in the morning. So we get up this cable car and we're like, oh, we've got a chance here. We've got some like half decent players. We thought we were like better than the year before.
Last week you saw you had Fraser Vaughan and Darryl Hazlitt both played Premier League last season, weren't they?
Oh, Darryl, when we say hangover, Darryl took us to new levels, didn't he? To the point when we turned up the following year, one of the Swiss girls just looked at him and pointed and started laughing.
Well, anyone that's been anywhere near the courthouse on most Friday or Saturday nights can probably verify that story. So
yeah, well, I shared a room with Darryl, and he spent most of the time in the shower naked, just with like just trying to sort of either that or just like slumped over a bench in the stands.
I don't think he actually got out on the Saturday, did he? I think there was one day he went to sleep and then woke up the 2 days later. I'm sure he missed the full day.
That's how they breathe a bit relaxing.
Yeah. That's actually an improvement on the last year's trip where he managed to impale himself on a tree and missed the entire tournament and watched the games live on his phone on a Swiss hospital bed.
I think you should point out he was mountain biking. He wasn't just
because he actually went past me and I knew he rode bikes a little bit and he went past me so quick. I was like, bloody hell, Darryl's handy on a bike. Turns out he wasn't. He just didn't have to use the brakes very well.
So it does sound like it all happens on these trips, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, you've managed to pull off something of what I consider to be a star signing for this summer's tournament in Italy. And I'm not talking about the likes of Darryl Hazlitt or Fraser Vaughan. You've actually got a player who has played to a very decent standard non-league, hasn't he? And was across the papers this time last year and a little bit this week as well.
He was.
So I'll let you do the full introduction.
Well, we've signed the former Sutton United goalkeeper, Wayne Shaw.
Yeah. The listeners will know him from Piegate, probably.
From Piegate, yeah. He's he's less fat than our previous keeper, which is a plus. He probably is going to be by a million miles our best player. He's also will get a lot of practice on the trip as well. Looks like the kind of lad who can put away a few beers as well.
Many pies in that part of the world?
Well, we're in discussion of muffins at the minute for a sponsorship deal, so we'll see what we can sort out for him.
If that doesn't work out, I'm sure over here you get heron and brilli or hooded ram, I think, for your drink.
Mason's pies, I had one of them last night. They were very nice, they're based on...
Morgan's pies.
Morgan's pies.
That's muffins as well, to be fair.
Yeah, it is. He's like more of like an offshoot, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, so I'm sure there's definitely...
So basically, the whole premise of this is, if you ask, the worst they can say is no.
So you just tweet him? I think basically, I saw this conversation.
Just asked him, all right, Wayne, fancy a game of football for us?
I think they're in small goal as well, aren't they? So he's obviously can play goal as well. Yeah. He's a decent keeper, so he, not going to hope so, but we could potentially be less bad than we are already.
Have you won a game yet, lads?
No.
What's your best result?
Oh, we nearly won this summer. We played Switzerland. We played the first game against France and lost. Something like 5 or 6 nil, was it? Was it 7 nil, maybe?
I don't know if it was that bad.
We lost count anyway.
I think it was,
But yeah, the Swiss team had beaten the French already, so we were like, oh God. If we lost 7 nil to them, it's going to be even worse.
Yeah.
But it turns out between the games, they went to the bar and they came out.
Kindred
and
spirits.
There was a distinct smell of alcohol coming off their players. So
I think we were 3-2 up at half time.
No, we were 5-4 up at one point with about two minutes to go.
No.
And one of their lads is teetotal. And that, obviously...
That was the downfall.
It started to show towards the end that he was maybe on better form than the rest of us. And he scored a winner with the last kick in the game. Exactly.
Now, I know you've been away last week, was it? The weekend before? On the start of the promotional tour ahead of the 2020 European Championship.
That's right, yeah.
And we've already discussed Wayne Shaw, an English footballing legend.
Yeah.
Now let's turn our attention to a Swiss footballing legend.
Yeah.
I'll give you a bit of his resume, Dave.
Yeah.
Watford, Tottenham Hotspur, Celtic. He's played for them all. Now he's going into, hopefully, FIFA president's candidacy,
Apparently he's the favourite to be the next president of FIFA, yeah.
If you haven't guessed already, we're talking about the wonderfully named Ramon Vega.
Yeah, he's the top lad. Absolute top lad, isn't he?
He was great, he was really good last week, actually, when we were away. I think, kind of, that was another one of yours. Just chatted on. I think Gaz asked him to do a bit of a speech for his mate's wedding, and it's just kind of...
Yeah, so I told the organisers I'd got this kind of former Spurs player who's Swiss to basically do a speech for my best man speech, because I thought, well, rather than stand there and try and be funny myself, if I can get someone else to speak for a couple of minutes, then give me a bit of time to breathe. So he did it. He was really nice guy. I must have tweeted like 20 former Spurs players. He was the only one who came back all over it. So I started to reel him in for this football tournament, got him on the hook and passed his details over to the organiser. And it turns out he got invited over to be on this promo thing. Was it last week or the week before?
Yeah.
Came along for the weekend, stayed in our little chalet with us. He's out drinking until 7 o'clock in the morning.
He was it's one of them. Like I'm a Celtic fan actually, so I sort of remember him as well.
Oh, wow.
My brother-in-law, he's a Spurs fan. It was one of them. I was really psyched about meeting him actually.
Yeah.
You always worry, don't you? Like you couldn't really meet people. But he was brilliant. Yeah, he was really good. Genuinely nice guy, and
I'm sure the Jaegers helped. There is a wonderful
He did get well into the things actually.
Well, the second morning was, I'm not sure if he was still drunk from the night before. 9 o'clock in the morning, right? He was on top form, wasn't he? Yeah. I think he was still drunk. First thing he does, he comes off the cable car, claps his hands together, and goes, "Right, lads, let's get pissed." This is like the man who's going to be president of FIFA, probably.
So, any danger Ramon slotting in at left centre half role for you?
He signed for us whilst drunk, but then claimed he couldn't turn up in Italy because it's during the World Cup. He's obviously got to go
promotional.
See the right people and make sure he's shaking the right hand.
He's on a bit of a world tour, I think, isn't it?
He spends all his time just travelling around, meeting the heads of the FA to try and get their votes.
But he
was apparently only 3 votes away from winning last time.
Amazing.
Before he came to meet us, he met Sepp Blatter the day before. Then he met the more important people the following day. he's quite a well-connected guy. He offered us to stay at his house if we're in London, didn't he?
I'm not sure how genuine that is.
That sounds like a 3:10 offer to
me. Yeah. Anytime, lads.
Yeah. Well, we're four of us there to witness it, so it's a binding contract now.
So he can't play. Is there any chance he can get any of his former teammates to join up with you?
Swiss legends. Yeah. Mark Hossiger, maybe? He used to play for Everton and Newcastle. Yeah. I think this
is fairly obscure.
What are you saying? They have to have played the Swiss national team at Euro 96 or something?
Well, yeah, could be. Or it could be just any of his former teammates, you know?
Mm. Ramon's probably well protected, you know?
Yeah, he's a big big old unit, Ramon.
You've named dropping a lot of Celtic players, actually, wasn't he? Because he did have a couple of... Well, I think he had a decent sort of half season.
Well, he was there when Larsson was there. And
yeah, he played like when Celtic got to UEFA Cup final.
Yeah.
So he was in like probably the best Celtic squad has been, really, for the last sort of generation, anyway. So... I might try and tap him up for Larsson, actually.
Yeah.
I'll do you want to get in the team?
Larsson?
Henry.
Yeah.
We'd probably find room for him, wouldn't we? Yeah, I'm not going to say he's the first name on the team sheet, but...
Depends if we can drink.
Yeah. Well, it's tobacco, isn't it, with him, he was saying.
Oh!
The snuff tobacco, we were saying, like, Ramon was saying he tried it and he blew his head off one time. That's what all the Swiss boys do, apparently.
Manx 40 pod exclusive. Before we delve into the Twitter questions, I must ask you about your badge. The guys are here in two tremendous looking...
We're jealous.
These are full...
Can be
full
organized.
Factory. Yeah. Full factory, as the kids would say these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got your badge, which I want to describe it. It's like Brighton and Hove Albion's old one, isn't it?
Maybe an inspiration behind it, yeah.
But of course, there's no for copyright reasons. Yeah. But it's a seagull... basically having a poo, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a bit of a story.
But it's classy. It's arty. Yeah.
Well, we try to think, what represents Peel? Mm. So I tried to think, how do you put a kipper in picture form? Not really possible. So we thought, what else is about Peel? Well, seagulls having a crap everywhere.
Yeah.
We borrowed some inspiration from the Brighton thing, added a little bit of... additional efforts off the backside and off you go.
You were telling me before you had problems that certain people wouldn't print it because they said it was
breached decency thing. So yeah,
I think that looks fairly. It just looks like
smart.
Yeah,
it?
It's very.
I had
smart.
The awkward conversation of having to go into Promenade T-shirts and ask them to embroider poo where the previous embroider wouldn't do it. So yeah.
But it looks very smart. They had Adidas top, didn't it?
It's a shame it was your birthday last weekend, otherwise I'd have got you one of these.
Oh, it was almost next year, though.
If you're heading to Intersport or any good sports shop, I'm sure we're kitted out there.
Yeah, of course. I've got your badge on stock now.
Yeah.
Right, well, let's delve headlong into the Twitter questions as Daryl Hazlitt would to a tree. So go on.
All right, the first one comes in from Steve Oliver. It's for you, Connor. What was the brew like?
Now, I presume he's talking about your trip away.
I don't think he is, actually. We started... a couple of other retirees from football started the Brew Review.
Oh, is that you?
Seasons ago, of which the Otter was one.
Well read.
But I must say that team was actually superb today.
Well done,
Dave. The job's definitely yours.
Winner.
In terms of Switzerland, there wasn't
not
actually
coffee
that much.
Though, was
yeah,
it?
It was. We were very
all about the stimulants.
Very, sort of, yeah. Very sort of posh with the coffee, weren't we, and stuff?
Yeah.
Obviously, one or two sort of. Mm. Light alcoholic beverages just to keep refreshed.
Just keep yourself ticking over, lads.
That's it.
I'm sorry that it wasn't in an Agent Rashid mug. Yeah. We've only got one.
Well, that's a good point, Dave. If he's listening, I'm sure he's going to be absolutely devastated by this. Someone has nicked one in the office.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking around through our glass window. It's very much like tunnel view at the Etihad at the moment.
It is.
And I can't see Rag and Bone Man there on the right. Sam, he's not got one. And I don't think Jess has got on there either. So we're going to have to spread the surge over to sales. I reckon it'll be sales.
Sales, they like to...
They're crafty like that, yeah. So we're down to one at the moment, Agent Rashid. But fear not, we'll get this one back. It's not going to be another Dave's leather jacket, is it?
No, not at all. And I suppose he didn't tweet in, but Rashid will probably like to know what you think of the cup, the one mug that you've got, Gary.
Maybe that's...
Seems perfectly functional. So yeah, holds a nice volume of tea and does the
that
job.
That could be your next line of merchandise, mugs.
Well, we're actually running out of stuff before we do have a lot of kit, don't we?
Would be a great show.
I was saying before, we've got two or three t-shirts, we've got ties, we've got tracksuits, we've got jackets. So yeah,
some kit bags, aren't we?
Kit bags, I think, is the next one. We've actually got a sponsor lined up for kit bags. You know, Alan's new business.
Yeah.
We have to be like running out of socks and underwear and the like next. I think we need something
If you get nominated for the Sports Awards, won't you? Could you please turn up just full gear?
We tried. I actually nominated Connor for Manx Sports Person of the Year.
I think you got more chance at Team of the Year.
Well, no, because
Connor ambassadors.
Connor's officially an All Star. He was nominated for the All Star team.
But you kept that quiet. That's
yeah. Well, it was me and Fraser actually. The two of us got.
He's kept that quiet. That's the first thing he tells anyone the first time he meets them.
Oh wow!
I can't believe I managed to slip that in.
Pulling the strings in the midfield.
Yeah,
or?
Yeah. I mean, that was that was in the Morzine tournament. It was myself and Fraser.
No, I think they wanted Fraser because he's decent, and you stood next to Fraser at the time.
Well, as I said, they actually come to me first. And Fraser happened to get.
You nearly changed your flights so you could, because we were so confident of not winning. We were booked to go home before the final. So you were actually talking about changing your flights.
I didn't have to get back for work then because I hadn't finished in the school holidays. Yeah. So it wouldn't have made any difference to me coming back, and I genuinely was willing to pay almost whatever.
Get your MVP award.
To be like a weird special game, it was like an all-star game. So it was like
they had like skiers, didn't they? Like yeah. The skiers and some of the other players who maybe were a bit better.
Ex-pros and stuff.
Yeah.
And
well, we know you can take a good penalty. There's proof of it now.
There is, yes.
Yeah, no, I saw that last week. Top bins, as a kid would say.
Top bins, yeah. And then the second day afterwards, I don't think that one's filmed. Was it, but I stuck one in the other top bin, didn't I?
I don't think anyone saw that one.
All right, okay. I'll have to check the thing and recorded that one as well.
Any autographs?
Not this time. Yeah, actually, normally there's tons of kids there.
Did you give out one to that Italian?
Did you?
I'm sure she did. That was a stamp one.
Oh, no.
Is your phone number?
That was an autograph. Oh,
yeah. Well, talking of Dinger, Jerry Andrews, the wonderful Jerry Andrews, he says, "Oh, the rumour's true that Seb Blatter had his wicked way with Dinger whilst up in the Swiss Marathon."
So Dinger's a character. He's again someone who's never even. I don't know. Has he ever played Manx football? Might have like played for St John's Combi when he was like 14 or something like that. But he's comes away on all these trips. Tends to always be the drunkest person there, apart from Daryl sometimes.
I was going to say that's
the first year we went away. He managed to drink an entire bottle of Jägermeister by himself. Trip over a curb, smash his face open. Forget he'd done it, and he woke up the following morning with his face like stuck to his pillow and he looked like the Elephant Man. It was something incredible.
Was that before or after the accident? He looked like the Elephant Man.
Oh, yeah, it didn't help anyway. But yeah, there's various pictures of him just cradling a bottle of Jägermeister, looking very sinister throughout the night. Then I don't think he was allowed to come the following year for whatever reason. And then, yeah, he came away last year and slept through all the games. He didn't even watch a single minute of us play football. And then spent the rest of the entire time either with his pants off or his top off. Yeah. He was wearing a belt around his head at one point.
That was one of my abiding memories last year, was just waking up and seeing him in his wife once with a belt around his head.
Very Rambo-esque.
Yeah.
Number one fan. All right. Also, did Seth Blatter have his rookie money though?
No, but Ramon may have.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. We'll leave it there. And Jerry's other question is, who would win in a game of tug-of-war, Kane or The Undertaker?
Harry Kane or...
No, apparently it's WWF. And I think isn't Kane the son of The Undertaker?
He is, isn't he?
Well, I thought they were brothers. I remember watching wrestling for about 2 weeks. And I stopped the week before. Was it Kane that took his mask off? So I never seen what he looked like. And that's the last time I seen wrestling.
When you're about six and you realised it was stupid.
They must be about 60, Kane. Are they still going?
Well, I think so. I do think they are actually still going. But my favourite wrestler was Hot Roddy Piper, was the one.
Yeah.
And then I had like claimed to have Scottish ancestry, but was, took like a New Yorker. And then there was Million Dollar Man. He was always, and then
sound a bit more up to speed on this.
Big Boss Man.
Okay, Sergeant Slaughter. This is really back in the day. Yeah,
yeah, they were my favourite.
I think you alienated most of your audience here, maybe a bit younger.
Oh no, I know from the demographics what we're pitching at here. Kids don't like us.
You haven't mentioned the Max wrestler though, have you? Is there a Max wrestler these days?
Magnus.
Magnus of Man, I think.
Yeah, okay. I'm a bit skeptical about him.
Don't know anything about him.
He doesn't walk around with a 2x4 or anything like that. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Legend. Yeah.
But getting back to Joey's question, because he obviously is of a younger demographic, I'd say Undertaker.
I'd go Undertaker as well. Undertaker. Only if you had Paul Bearer with him.
Oh!
You need a manager, don't you?
Yeah. Right, Gary Waitman, a colleague of yours at Marant's Bowling Club C team, I believe.
He is, yeah.
He said, Connor, are you just a flat green bowler? I presume there's some banter.
Yeah, there is a little bit of a story there. I think it was back when we first started playing, we were down at Peel. Playing, I was getting my backside handed to me, to be fair, by some guy. I think he was beating me to like 23 or something, like first to 21. And I just happened to get on this little bit of stretch of flat ground, basically, and I ended up beating him 21-20.
Wow.
And he completely lost the head. So this guy, this like 70-year-old guy who's revolved around a game of bowls, was fuming to the point he never even offered me a tea and a biscuit after the game, which is...
Right, have you named up this person?
Oh, I don't know if you should.
We like a bit of a job. His name.
I think his name was Jeff something. I think he has got a bit of a rep around found the bowls club, but I think you have to ask like Steve Kelly or somebody. Oh.
They so, don't know who Gary, you not fancy turning your arm to crown game bowling yet?
Yeah, not just yet, anyway. Mm. Yeah, I'll give that 30 or 40 years.
Because the bowl is like a drink, you know?
I believe so, yeah. Well, I don't really drink much, so basically just on these things, you're just going to a weekend binge. It takes me about a week to recover from them.
Well, and we then signed you, one, didn't we, last year?
We signed one.
Like, Neil Withers?
Yeah.
So, legend. Who was... steady on
that. Round, I would go along with that. Yeah, round legend.
Legend in his own head.
Yeah. Possibly. And he obviously signed up for our 40 last year as well.
Yeah.
He's part of my youth policy.
He ticked all the boxes. Yeah. Not being able to.
Well, he ticked the boxes of, basically. Will you give me some money so I can book your flight? That is the box. There's not much else. Footballing ability. That.
So Red Nev could be away this summer. We can see where they're. Next question today from
Matthew Woods. I don't know who this is aimed at.
Connor.
Can you ask why he did 9 years in upper sixth form, please?
Upper sixth form. Woods is better than that as well. I know he's the most unfunny man in the world, but even he's got better material than that. From a really boring story, actually. Basically, I'd done an extra year of sixth form at school, but because it's a boring story, he has to get...
Just for size, yeah.
Yeah, so you have to add on a new year, don't you? Yeah. So the boys end up saying, why did you do so many years?
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's the end of that.
Thanks for that, Woodsy.
Yeah.
I've got two more, actually. I forgot to put them on. The Peel official Twitter account tweeted a couple of questions. And they ask, first of you, which current Isle of Man FA or MIFA player would have the skill set required to be in the PSG squad?
Funny enough, we've been talking about this, actually, haven't we?
Yeah, we're a bit short on footballers, aren't we? Because we've got people who are coming along just to drink, really, and we haven't got much ability in the team.
Yeah, like I say, we've I think Fraser had a shoulder injury or something, so he's sort of unavailable.
Mm, yeah. I forget Daryl's reason he's kind of not allowed to come. We've got quite a few current vets footballers, but that's not really what you want to play 17-year-old Peruvian kids.
Yeah.
There was one guy we were thinking about, or I was thinking about anyway, I thought Myers,
right,
I thought Johnny
might
fit the mould of sort of...
But give you a bit of management, yeah.
Well, not even management, but he just likes a drink. And
yeah.
He'd be quite suited to the smaller pitch. I remember when he was at Peel, he was...
He scored four for the Combi last week. I'm doing a Thielius Thunder from Combi
Corner.
I remember back in Peel training the day in the gravel pit in the corner that was fenced in when he was there. He was unplayable. These are smaller pitches. It suit him nicely.
Yeah, I think... Johnny, if he's listening, I think we could be potentially tamping him up.
So okay, right. And the also next question for the Peel account: have you looked into the viability of hosting the tournament on Snaefell?
They have actually talked about us hosting something, haven't they?
It's a bit of a sore point, really, actually, isn't it? Because we're trying to get a bit of support for it, really. And basically, it's obviously not primarily a football thing. It's for a lot of these areas, it's like a tourism boost and stuff as well. So the guy who's what Gaz knows, that's really, really pushes it, he kind of wants, well, not that he wants, but he's trying to sort of boost tourism in these little areas and that, and try and get people
aware of different places and try and like increase, like say, awareness and kind of just people going to them.
Mm.
So we've obviously tried a little bit for the Isle of Man. This is like an insane tournament. It's got, apparently the media reach of the last one was like 20 million people. Right. It was on Italian national news, it was on Swiss news, it was... it was on like UEFA's website, so it's kind of a pretty big deal, and it's well worth having your name associated to. So obviously we've approached the right people in the government who aren't interested. Mm. They're only interested in idiots on motorbikes and little old ladies in a minibus eating Words Originals looking at Tim Mould. we actually went back after their first refusal with that accusation, and they said, oh no, it's part of our tourism development plan. At which point one of the lads picked out their tourism development plan and highlighted the various pages which are aimed at little old ladies on tour buses and tourism. I didn't get a reply to that one.
But yeah, just for legal reasons, can I point out, when you say we, you mean you.
Yeah, no, it's all together. So yeah, we've tried our best to kind of push the Ironman, and they are actually interesting coming over. Who's it? The Swiss guys, the Swedish lads.
I think the Italian guys.
The Italian lads. Yeah, they're all interested. Snaefell's a good shout, but it's a bit rocky up there.
Yeah, not
so
very
we were actually having a debate when we were away, where is the highest flat bit?
Gary Moore.
Is Billy Goat not
Ooh, that's a shout.
Yeah. We thought is there something even higher and flatter.
We need Northern Survey map, don't we?
Yeah. But then we can maybe mix it up, and like the Dutch lads held a tournament on a very steep slope, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that might negate some of our lack of football ability.
You could play on that after at QX school, couldn't you?
Yeah. So yeah, it is out there
potentially,
to be done, possibly. Yeah,
potentially.
We'll see, watch the space.
Possibilities are endless with this.
They are.
Well, talking about football trips away, of course, I was with the Ironman FA squad last weekend. And before we look ahead to Saturday's, this weekend's, I must say, kind of like Premier League and JCK Division 2 fixtures, I spoke to Paul Jones after last week's disappointing Interleague Cup exit at the hands of North Riding League. It's fair to say we did this in the on the way back on the coach. Not on the coach, actually, at the service station, so you can hear people's clanking in the background. That's actually the tea of the Starbucks in the background. But yeah, he was very disappointed. But he says this could be a bit of a watershed moment for the Ironman FA squad, as he maybe brings in a few new players after this. And there's also talk about revival of the Steam Packet tournament as well, or something, a Steam Packet light, as I refer to.
Sure, we could enter PSG into this.
PSG could be well and truly in this.
We'll turn to anything.
Yeah.
We'll turn to anything.
So we'll have a listen to what Paul has to say now. Right, Paul, you know, reflecting on a disappointing result today. On another day, we probably should have won that by two or three goals, but in the end, we go down 5-2. I don't know where to start, really, I suppose.
No, I don't. And I think a lot of the frustration is that since we started playing in this cup, you know, when we concede a lot of goals, apart from maybe we seem to concede a lot of goals, and I know why, and it's infuriating because we talk about it all the time, yet we still concede a lot of goals, and, you know, scoring two goals in any game at this level with our players should see us through.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had enough opportunities to win the game. With better defending and more consistent play, we would have won the game. So everyone's devastated, really. You know, it's very similar to the game that this team beat us when we were down at Peel. The pitch wasn't maybe quite so bad.
But it did act a bit as a leveller today.
It did.
We couldn't utilise maybe our pace a bit or maybe pass it as well as we can do.
Yeah, I think they obviously they planned to play a game the day before, I think, and then, you know, the pitch wasn't maybe as good as we would have liked it to be, but, you know, that's their prerogative as the home side to do that. So we knew when we were there, we'd planned about how we were going to play. You know, there was some comments after the game about, you know, we play on a nice artificial surface on the bowl every week, and maybe that doesn't prepare us for playing on a sticky, muddy pitch when we come away against teams that are used to doing that which is a fair comment. But, you know, we were comfortable really first half, I thought. They changed their formation second half. They went more direct, and we didn't cope with that very well initially. And then once we went 2-1 down, we controlled the game for 20, 25 minutes and missed chances and got back to 2-2. And you're thinking, oh, here's the usual routine, the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
Leaving it late in the day, you know, we'll grab the winner, we'll go to extra time. And on this occasion, we, for some reason, just didn't control that situation very well, and from our attack, where we looked in comfortable possession, they counter-attacked and we gave a penalty away, and that was it. You could see that, like, the energy drain out of the players at that point, really, and we had to go to three at the back, put a lot of attacking players on the pitch, and then got caught with two more counter-attacks. So, you know, the scoreline, we'll always say, doesn't really reflect what the game was like, but you know, we had enough chances to win the game today, but our defending didn't deserve to win any football match. When you concede five goals, then, you know,
And is there any positives we can take today? Is it? Is there anything at all we can hold on from this long trip to Teesside and back?
I don't know. I mean, you learn more, don't you, when you fail or when you lose than you do when you win. Some of the things we've learned and reflect upon tonight really are some of the stuff we've known for a while. And we've tried various different ways to try and improve that situation, but we obviously haven't been successful, so we need to find a different way of doing it. You know, there were some good performances in there. You know, Dean, the keeper, came in and actually did really well. You couldn't really fault him for any of the goals, you know, maybe the first one, but he had lots of players around him when the corner came in, so he did really, really well, you know, and he looked like a consistent goalkeeper, which is something we've been challenging about at Russian, so I'm pleased for him. He did well. And then, you know, some of the other players, you know, put in a good performance. You can't fault the effort, you know. You can never fault the effort of this group of players. You know, we just maybe got to do a little bit better to not concede goals. And in the Isle of Man, you can concede a couple of goals and you know you're going to win a game for most of these players. Well, you can't do that over here. And we don't work hard enough to deny the opposition the chances.
So what's next? I know we're out of this competition now. We're in it. There's not Ireland games coming up in the summer. We've got a bit of a lull now, haven't we?
Yeah, there is. And, you know, that's maybe a good thing in some ways, but it's also, you know, not a great thing to keep people kind of motivated. So we were in the process of planning the pre-season tournament anyway, but that becomes a priority now. So looking to bring over some professional sides to play against and kind of resurrect the old steam packet tournament, which is the main priority. So if we can find some teams that are interested in coming and have a competition format that suits them in pre-season, then that's what we will do. And then it's really about, you know, understanding which of this group of players want to continue and giving opportunities to maybe an additional group of players who are our future. And, you know, when I came into the role, it was quite quick. There was no real planning. We were straight into it. And I feel like, you know, we're still, as a coaching team, really finding our feet about what we want to do and how we would like to do it. And it's really disappointing that we're out, but at the same time, it's an opportunity for us to rethink.
Yeah.
You know, our aim is still to you know, and there's lots of conversations that needs to be had about the Manx game and how we can challenge our better players. But if everything still looks as it does in 2 years' time, we'll be back in this tournament again. And the aim is to go away and represent England and be European amateur champions. So we have to use these next 2 years to move our game forward, however that might be, in order to make sure we've got an opportunity to do that.
Right.
It was always that we were aiming towards that this season, and it was one of our goals. But you know, it was going to be really difficult to do it. But with 2 years, in essence, there's things in the pipeline for next summer which are really exciting, which I can't talk about at the moment. That gives a little bit of emphasis and motivation maybe for the players to turn up to training. But we've got to rethink how we do it. We've got to rethink why we're doing it. You know, we've got to rethink so many different things at the moment, and it's an opportunity to take a bit of time out, press a pause button, and start again, really. And say, this is what we're building towards, this is the time scales we're working towards, this is the commitment we expect, and if you would like to come along with that, then turn up. We'll have a meeting, we'll have a natter about it all, we'll get together, and if you're not prepared to commit to that over that 2 year, 3 year time scale, then that's okay, that's fine. You know, but you know, give people an opportunity to commit or not, and then we'll go from there and see who we have.
Yeah.
And I mean that from a, you know, obviously you sat there thinking about it on the coach, thinking about all sorts of things, but you know what? I don't think anybody, you know, as a player, I knew when it was the right time to stop playing.
Yeah.
And I think we got to present, this is what we're working towards as a national team over this time period. And if you're able to commit to that, great. And if you're not, then that's okay as well.
Yeah.
And give not just the players in this squad, but the players who have trained with us, but also the players who believe they could be Ireland players, an opportunity to understand what it is we're trying to do. And then, you know, step over a line with us and say, right, we're prepared to commit to that. And You know, I think that's a really important step, and we have a period of time where we're not working necessarily, you know, for anything official or a big competition, but we're working with a group of players who understand what we're trying to do and have committed to a time scale that we're trying to do it in, and understand that it's a means to an end rather than we're training, you know, once a week for a game every other week. You know, that can't happen.
Well, thanks for your time. Thanks for letting me come. And I hope I won't be invited back again.
No, you won't. You won't. You know, definitely not. No, it's been. I mean, it's always a good trip to come together. You know, we're not leaving Middlesbrough with the performance or the result that we wanted. But you know, we're in reflective mood at the moment, and good things will come of it. You know, we've just got to be a little bit patient, and I appreciate you being here and cheering us on. But just don't come back.
Right, welcome back, lads. We're still here with the Peel St Germain lads, Connor and Gary. We're going to look ahead to the weekend's fixtures with them, starting with it. It's a cheeky little Friday night game, isn't it?
Yeah, Dave? You always look forward to these, don't you?
Yeah, but I haven't been to one yet this season.
Right, so yeah, this one we've got Colby, the visitors to St John's, down at Mullion Cloyd.
Canada Life Premier League game. Big game for Colby. They're running out of games at the foot of the league, aren't they? They are currently on, played 17 for 11 points, just a point ahead of Braddon, who have played five games more than. The trapdoor's looming for them, for me.
It is, with Ramsey as well. I think this is going to be a tricky game for them. St John's are obviously quite formidable at home, and they will certainly start as favourites.
Won the reverse 69-0. Doesn't really point to a good result for Colby for me, but you never know. Lads, you know, obviously you've played a lot of football in the west of the island. St John's seems to have turned a bit of a corner under Rick Holden this season, get some good results.
Rick's keen as mustard down there. When you speak to him, he's really enjoying it. He was obviously had a few feuds at Peel with various people, and I think he's quite enjoying the freedom down there to do what he wants. Mm. Can't say I've seen them play in 10 years, but I'm sure they seem to be doing quite well.
Yeah, like I say, I've got a lot of time for it, actually. I think he does get a little bit of stick, but at the end of the day, you know, he's been and done, seen a lot of things that not many people over here have. So, possibly pie in the sky. But I don't know. I wouldn't say he's gospel truth, but I think he does have a lot of good ideas. And like I say, there's a few off decent players down at St John's, isn't there? But wouldn't want to give him too much credit.
The floodlights of Mullion Cloyd are a bit of a novelty still at this level. Lads, have you played under floodlights on one of your away days or?
I don't think so.
That's another box to get ticked then.
Yeah, we've actually, I sent St John's an email last year to ask if we could play there, but I think it's just hard to organise. Mm. But yeah, we're quite fancy. I say we'll play anywhere, play anyone, we just like the novelty factor. I was even eyeing up basically the first ever fixture on the Carver Man. It was like a perfect little football pitch size field down there.
Been on Google Maps.
Exactly, I say I've got a lot of time on my hands. So yeah, we'll play anywhere. St John's want to give us a go on their pitch. We'll try and churn it up for them.
The Mega Bowl, give them maybe a Mega Bowl out in this season.
Well, exactly. It could be like
a Mega Bowl. That could be a shout for this year.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, it could be like done on rotation. Yeah. Like put an individual bid in for the various grounds.
they'd make it back in the bar takings, wouldn't they? After this, to be honest.
They could, yeah, and we could follow after like Sepp and basically make it a bit shady if there are any backhanders. we can learn from the best.
Well, I think this is a glowing endorsement for a St John's win tonight, if I've ever heard one, Dave.
I think so. Yeah. 3 points going their way.
Games in the Canada Life Premier League tomorrow. Kicking off with it's a big game, which I actually missed off. You've just put it in bold, which has confused me. St George's Peel tomorrow, massive game. Now, we had a vote on the Twitter page, didn't we?
Yeah.
91 people voted, which is quite unbelievable in itself. 48% reckon Georgie's going to win, 37 Peel, 15 for a draw. I'm going to go with the 15 that went going for a draw tomorrow. I think these two teams are well matched at the moment, and I might even say Peel are maybe slightly going into this as favourites.
I think that it's been such a stop-start season for both, hasn't it? You know, with the national side playing, so it's a difficult one. I think Georgie's will still just about have the edge in this one. I don't know how the teams are shaping up for it, which will obviously play.
I know Peel are at full strength. I think they're just missing Matty Skillicorn tomorrow, so they should be firing on all cylinders, as it were.
Yeah, I think you're right. This could end in a draw, but I'm going to just tip Geordies to edge it.
But Gary, obviously you trod the wing for Peel for several years. Is it a Peel win for you?
I haven't kept up to date with him for many years, but I'll go for a convincing Peel victory for no reason whatsoever other than I can say that. I kind of watch them a lot more than me.
I still go down most weeks and watch.
You're actually currently signed on player, are you? I saw you with a peel kit, or is that just a replica?
I think I'm possibly deregistered now.
Yeah.
But with a
P. Kelly replica shirt.
Most definitely wouldn't be a P. Kelly replica shirt. No. In fact, actually, speaking of, it has been football. No, we still wouldn't take him, actually, would we?
No, put him on the bench.
Got his 50th cap, though.
50th cap for our FA side last year?
No, I can't give him any credit at all.
And we actually did talk about bringing Bella away, and we thought that it just would end in disaster, didn't it?
Bella,
we don't want to upset people. We want to carry on getting invited.
We're all blackballing.
Yeah, he's fine causing upset around the pub's appeal, but take him to Europe and...
Yeah, he's definitely on the blacklist. And he'd be like Vinnie Jones in that film. What was that film?
Oh, Football Factory. Was that the other one? I know what you mean. With the monkey. Jason Statham.
Bella's on the blacklist. But yeah, for that one tomorrow, I hope, to be honest, Peel win. I think just for the... I'd say, obviously still mates and stuff down playing at Peel, but... I think for the sake of the league as well, I think it'd be nice just to see a bit of it.
It's been a long, long, long time since Peel won the league, isn't it? It'd be nice to see them, so anyone but St George's win it, really.
They've turned a bit of a corner this year. They look a lot more solid. I know Gaylor's back, and that's obviously a massive boost, but they do look harder to beat this year.
Yeah, like I say, the boys have been working hard down there, obviously, since Falky's come in. I think Gaylor makes a big difference this year. The new guys who signed, the Laxey lads, like Johnny Shields,
Sean Carey,
Sean and obviously and Matty there, they've sort of knitted in quite well to the team and stuff, and it's the boys do put a lot of work in down there as well, so I kind of hope they get a little bit of reward in terms of the league.
Changed to my day when it used to be like a Basque only policy with like you had to eat from Peel to play from Peel. It kind of opened it up these days. It seems to be like every man in stock plays from Peel.
If you weren't born within spitting distance of the YT,
genuinely what it used to be like, pretty much.
Real Peel, as they call it. Dave, you're going to be there tomorrow, so those of you who have a smartphone and Twitter can follow all the updates from @ManxFootyBlog, isn't it?
Yeah, very cold Glencoe Tree Road tomorrow.
Yeah, your face is already glowing with enthusiasm. I'm off to near the game just down the road, Douglas High School Boys versus Corinthians. Now, it's been a good week weather-wise, hasn't it?
It has.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, this one will go ahead. This should be a good game as well. Corinthians obviously at top still at the moment on goal difference. They need to keep winning if they want to keep this title charge going, as it were. All Boys have had, again, probably one of the teams that have been affected by the stop-start nature of the recent weeks the most. On the day, I think they beat Corinthians in the reverse fixture, so they can definitely get a result here tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, who knows? I mean, I know the Black Relay pitch has suffered a little bit recently, but which pitch hasn't really? You know, you've got to note that any one of three teams could actually end the day top. That's just how close it is at the top of the table, which is great to see. I think Old Boys will give them a good game. They gave Rushen a good go a few weeks ago, but I think Corinthians will just be too strong for them.
Lads, have you got any insight on this one? Connor, have you seen either of these teams playing this season?
Only when they play Peel, I think.
Corinthians, you remember? Corinthians impress you? Some young lads there?
I think Peel, that was early on the start of the season. I think he played it on the bowl, if I remember right.
Yes, they did, Peel won, actually.
But yeah, I think... I don't know, from a peer point of view, I think maybe just Corinthians drop points there would be handy, but...
I can see that happening. It could be a draw this one. Corinthians will need to be at their sharpest. I'm sure Danny's been drilling that into them this week. Gary, obviously, Old Boys, Corinthians, nice to see a couple of new teams in the top four mix, really, instead of everything being dominated by St George's, as you indicated before.
I've got to say, no insight whatsoever.
You start to sound like me, mate.
I was going to say, Dave doesn't have it, but...
I'll take a completely biased opinion. I'll go for Old Boys then, why not?
Run with. Okay, Douglas has to let Ickle take on Ramsey. Ramsey, again, they look very perilously close to dropping out of the Premier League for the first time in a number of years. They are currently bottom, aren't they, Dayton?
Yeah, with 4 points from 11 games. I mean, you could class this as a bit of a six-pointer. Athletic still aren't completely safe, but...
16 points, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're looking good now. I think they should just be about safe, but for Ramsey, time is... quickly running out. They've got to win this one if they stand any chance, I think.
Pinks have obviously picked up a couple of back-to-back wins over Douglas Royal, just the way it's the quirk of the fixtures list in the last couple of weeks. That'd be nice. That we talk about momentum, we talk about the stop-start nature of the season as it is at the moment. They've got that back at the moment, haven't they? And it should give them the edge in this one, shouldn't it?
I think so, yeah. I'd expect a home win.
Pink's a sort of team after your own heart as well, sort of founded quite recently, like an extravagant kit.
Fair play to them. And on to Ramsey. Why have Ramsey been rubbish for so long? Surely they've got like a decent catchment area. Like I never quite get why Ramsey haven't got a decent team.
The problem is, as far as I see it, they develop quite good youngsters and then they go to Laxey. And then they never keep them together for.
Lovely pitch, big catchment area. It's
You say in front of me is actually 2 seasons ago they got into the Railway Cup.
Yeah.
So that was only a couple of seasons ago, 2 or 3 seasons ago, wasn't it?
I think obviously you've got the problem there that. Because you've got like Air and Youthy and that. They'd like to swap.
The merry-go-round.
Yeah, there is always a good transfer merry-go-round there, isn't there?
Yeah. Only matched in the West, I would say. Yeah. I think we're home wins for us on that one. St Mary's take on at Douglas Royal. St Mary's are nearly finished their league programme, aren't they?
I'd tell you what, they did well against Old Boys last week. It was a tough old game.
4-all thriller.
I think Old Boys were quite comfortably ahead, were they? Or was it the other way around?
Dave, I was in the sunny Middlesbrough, so...
Either way, it was an 8-goal thriller, and I think St Mary's are playing well under Al Harrison.
Yep, seemed to have turned a bit of a corner. They play a Royal side that, again, in desperate need of points, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they've got 11 at the moment. They are out of the relegation zone, but having played 16 games, they know that Ramsey could catch them mathematically, so they need to get some more points on the board, but it'll be a tough ask this weekend.
St Mary's, just a note, their 20th Premier League game of the season, which is, I think, 9 more, if they play on Saturday, will be 8 or 9 more than Old Boys, Laxey, Ramsey. So it just shows you what an artificial pitch will do for your fixtures, won't it? Big pitch at the bowl, lads, have you played on there?
Yeah, plenty of times. Yeah, I think for St Mary's, it's like a particular advantage because it's a different game of football, really, on there, isn't it? Something they're well used to and kind of is a real big help to them.
Yeah.
Played on a couple of times there towards
the. You probably walked around the centre circle a few times. Connor's well known to Marshall Centre Circle.
Yeah, I remember having to retire one day when I got marked out of a game by Matty Evans in Centre Circle. That was when I knew it was time to pack in. But
yeah,
the ball was always a bit of a big one for me, even when
I quite enjoy that. Like the Vets football gets played on there now, and it's nice. It's kind of quite.
Well, it's quite quick surface as well. There's no time to get it under, really, is it?
Because that's the beauty of it. When I used to play, I was one of the slower players, and now playing Vets football, I'm one of the faster players. So it's actually like flipped around, it's kind of nice, it's a novelty for once.
Last game in the Premier League tomorrow sees Russian host Brad Crotlowy. This looks all day to me a home win, obviously I probably offended Joey Andrews with that sentiment, but I think you have to go for Russian.
Yeah, definitely. They're still in the mix up there at the top, they're in fourth at the moment. I don't think they'll challenge for the title now, they've dropped a few too many points, but I think they're still having a good season, and obviously Paul Jones is now not going to be taking charge of them for the next couple of months.
No, he's not available, so Stevie Burns has stepped up to the plate, as
not,
it were.
Not a bad man to replace.
No, so he'll be the one in barking from the sidelines tomorrow against Braddon. Braddon started off well, and then have faded somewhat, haven't they?
They have, so this will be a long afternoon for them. I expect a pretty comfortable Russian win, to be honest.
I know it probably pains you, Gary, but yeah.
Convincing Braddon win.
To be fair, I watched Braddon, actually, when they played Peel a couple of weeks ago. I was quite impressed with them, actually. They seemed quite
fit.
Relatively well organised for a sort of team in that league.
The wheels have come off a little bit. They picked up, how many points are they on, Dave? You've got the league tables in front of you.
They've got 10 points from 12 games.
I think they picked up most of them before October, didn't they?
Yeah, again, Russian's a big pitch and Braddon's is a small one, and again, it maybe doesn't play into their hands.
Yeah, so
I have to say, though, they've got Andy Glover back in and he's scored a couple of goals, so now he's getting fitter. If he can stay injury-free, he's always a big plus going forward.
And Russian can always do a Russian, can't they? Look convincing for 80 minutes and still lose 3-1. So, we'll have to see. There may be a glimmer of hope for the Swans there, but I'd have to say I think that's going to be a home win for the Spaniards. On to JCK Division 2, the most exciting league in world football. We think there's still about 7 teams that could go up in this league, is that right?
Yeah, Ben? Easily. So I think all the way down to Malou, anyone's in with a chance. Yeah.
Onk and Foxdale's probably the game of the day, and that's sort of been switched from the spiritual home of stock car racing to Groves Road because of the continued waterlogging issues up there in Onken. Onken, Foxdale, this one, hard to call this one. Onken obviously had the played in the week in the Woods Cup against Moran and lost. I thought they might have possibly edged that, but probably just underlines what closeness there is in the teams in that bunch.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, on paper, Oncon will start as favourites for second in the league, but they have played four games more than Foxdale, so, you know, Foxdale could still mathematically overtake them. So it's going to be close. I still think the O's will probably just about sneak it.
Connor, is this the year Foxdale finally bring top flight football back to the enclave?
Got to be getting close, hasn't it? Like you say, with the managerial mastermind that is Robbie Jack.
He's also signed up for this year's trip.
I saw that on Facebook, yeah.
PSG player as well and stuff. So, we've got a few mates at Foxdale. We know a few of the lads. Yeah. I'd like to see them go up, to be fair, just to see them play against Peel and Geordie, but I'm not sure how keen they would be to get promoted themselves, to be honest. But
it's the battle of the bogs that on Oncon does.
Foxdale, you know, they've obviously Jay Chatwood, good goal scorer in that division, and a few other good players at that level. Yeah, it's this year, or it's got to be this year. Or I think I've got a feeling it'll fall away a little bit.
You're just desperate to get that victory parade through the
yeah.
Streets.
So I remember when they won the league last time, there was a flatbed truck
through the streets or the streets
the streets of Foxdale. Yeah. Now it's been relayed. They've got to get one of Jimmy's JCK tippers up there, haven't they? So you're going on, Kinwin, are you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Which Reese is in charge? This would be a good test here.
Oh, David.
Yes. Not Mark or Joe. I'm going to go for the Dale, the Mighty Dale. Lads, I'm sure, presume you're going for the Mighty Dale as well?
Yeah, like Connor says, we've got some mates who play for them, don't we?
Yeah, like I say,
you're a former player yourself, aren't
you? I did, yeah. And that was part of the Western merry-go-round that I was on for a couple of years. But yeah, right, I hope they probably win that. Like I say, give them a sniff of going up as well, doesn't it? Keeps the boys interested.
Yeah. Another two teams with, as Connor puts it, sniffs of going up. Youthy and Moran, they go head-to-head at Skull Rigori.
This is going to be close. They're both on 31 points at the table.
A good result, as we said, for Moran in the week in the Woods Cup through to the semi-finals. No, quarter-finals now, isn't it? That was a delayed first-round tie.
Yeah.
Youthy, the wheels have come off again. They lost to Mills in the Woods Cup at the week, haven't they? 3-1, it's quite a convincing result, isn't it? They're very much a bogey team for Youthy, aren't they?
They are a little bit, because obviously they kick-started their slump earlier in the season, so it'll be interesting to see how they respond. Moran will be absolutely flying. They'll be brimming with confidence, having beaten Pulley, and now obviously they did that against Oncon the other day. So I wouldn't be surprised if the visitors get the points in this one.
Lads, it's one of the Lost Galacticos of that's Paul Rose, but they have got a few decent players at Youthy. I mean, Harry Weatherall and Johnny Lund have obviously both played top flight football, as well as the Cummins brothers. Sometimes, you know, is there a bit of pressure when you get loads of, you know, when you were at Peel, when you had loads of decent players, was that a lot of pressure because the players were there?
Well, I was always on the bench, so it's hard to know. Yeah, I only came off last 5 minutes and just kind of scooped up a few trophies because of it.
But was it, if Peel had a decent team, was the pressure that was the assumption that they were going to win? Is it?
Well, I played there when we had like some really good teams, and it wasn't really pressure. You kind of expected to win because there aren't really, if you're a very decent team, there aren't that many difficult games a year, really. You turn up to most games and you expect to win. It's nice to play in the bigger games. It gives you a bit of pressure and, to play 5 minutes at the end of them, it's good fun.
Now, Connor, obviously you're a teacher at Ramsey Grammar. So
I am, yeah.
Just over the road, the Youthy pitch. Is that
giving it you? Is. It's. I don't think there's many lads. I think most of the lads at school play for Ramsey, actually. Which probably explains why Ramsey are so rhubarb.
Poor coaching.
Not guilty.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm guilty of that one, to be fair. Like I say, it's... They were down Peel of the week. There was a few decent players in, actually, as well. Yeah, they made Peel work hard, actually, for quite
about an hour.
Good hour, well. 60, 70 minutes anyway. So I'd be... Are they up towards the top of that second division?
You threw fourth. So they are 4 points off promotion at the moment. They've got a game in hand on the top two. So.
And where are Moran in that mix now?
Moran are fifth, but they've got a game in hand, but they're on the same points. So
maybe they raised their game, for playing down at Peel or whatever. But they sort of struck me as a team that would be definitely on the verge of promotion.
So I think that might be a cheeky little draw, that one. If we had the Manx coupon, I'd be putting a 10p on that one.
I'd say Moran as a Moran veterans player.
We're
both former Moran players. I'm still current. I think I might still be signed on, possibly. They've got a decent team around. There's some good lads there. Some guys from Rye still plays. You've got Kevin Druggan still lurking around. He's a handy player. And yeah, they've got some pace and ability.
Kipper's in the combi, I think.
They're combis, but I'm on their Facebook group. When the emails come out some weeks, they were the oldest team you ever come across. It's fantastic. Like, it's back to the good old days of Manx combi football. Where, like, there's like usually like five AN others there. And then it turns out some lads get kind of like brought out of retirement from like 20 years ago to play.
Well, the Brown, very much, I could see why you would fit into the Brown ethos, because obviously when we had the Brown boys in last season for the podcast, they were talking about the Monkey Brains, which is still a...
I believe Neil Withers has never done one.
I've never seen him do one.
Neil Withers has never done a Monkey Brain, apparently.
Well, even Dave's done one when he recovered a game.
Exactly. I don't quite believe it.
That is an absolute travesty.
You say it's a surprise that I've done a Monkey Brain. You've seen how many shots I've done.
No. I mean, you did it one after reporting on a game. He was only reporting on one.
It wasn't during. No Monkey Brains on it.
Oh, right. That is a travesty. We'll have to try and
get this
Monkey Brain for Nev hashtag trending after this. That's right. Looking back to the football, Douglas and District faced Governors Athletic at Nobles Park. Should be a comfortable win this for Douglas and District, you'd think, wouldn't
they'll it? They'll be favourites. We have to give a good mention to them after their win last week. In the quarterfinals of the Woods Cup. Yeah, it was a 9-goal thriller.
5-4. But they were cruising at one point, weren't they?
4-1. They were 3-0 up. Sorry, 2-0 up, 3-1 up. And then it got back to 3-0 later on. And then they eventually won 5-4. Ben Hall was the hero with the hat-trick.
So they did make a bit of a fist of it. But yes, they'll be favourites, I think, to Governors. How many points at the bottom?
Governors...
4?
They've got 4 points. So they've only won one game this season. So yeah, this will be a struggle for them. D&D will be favourites.
Jim's Malou, another of the slightly lower half teams in this. Jim's currently second bottom, Malou. A bit further up, actually, so you probably fancy them to win at Tremont.
Yeah, definitely, especially with the attack options they've got. So, yeah, it'll be a long day in the afternoon for Jim's, but having said that, you know, they've given a few good teams a good run for their money recently, so it could be a good day for them.
Obviously, Tony Sewell facing his former club as well.
Yes, the legendary Tony Sewell.
Yeah. Michael United versus Castletown. Michael, it looks like a long afternoon. After they've finally finished with playing Governors Athletic, actually, they're probably just relieved to be playing a different team this week.
Yeah.
They played Governors for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, and they won 5-2 last time out, so Michael will have a bit of confidence about them as well. But Castletown being top of the table, yeah, they're surefire favourites for this one. So they need the 3 points.
Lads, Blair Road, possible venue for some international football tournament?
Is that possibly the windiest pitch? It's
so exposed, it's untrue. The wind all just funnels down that hill, doesn't it?
But it'll add an element.
Yeah, well, obviously it's got a cliff not too far away, you can kick the ball off. So
And a telephone mast disguised as
it. We could probably play that current Mike United team. That could be our first win.
I'm not so confident, to be fair.
Do a good pint in the mitre, though, afterwards.
Yeah,
no, we've kind of been talking about how to arrange football matches around trips and pub crawls, haven't we? So, yeah, Tour of the West's been mooted.
It's how we're going to plan our external podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. We did one from the Traff this year in the pool room, which was a delight.
Yeah, so we still need to figure out where our next one's going to be.
Yeah, well, we'll get another one. We might go down south next time.
You've got to recover for Middlesbrough first.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So I think we're all unfortunately going for a cast down win, aren't we?
Yeah.
All the Michael fans listening, I'm sure, will be devastated. United, Paul Rose. This looks like should be a big win for Paul Guyver's Pulley, shouldn't it?
Definitely. We talk about their attacking options every week, but it is such a strong lineup, isn't it? They've got the firepower to win this one quite comfortably, I think.
Dean Tate scored, though, last week. They're my man.
My favourite ever player. Sorry to you guys.
Not ever. Julian Wingham.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
He scored last week, so him in on good form is a dangerous prospect. So I don't know if this will be perhaps not the hammering we think, but I think it should still be a comfortable win.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Right, lads, before we say goodbye, this is a couple of tremendous features for you to listen to. Combi Corner, Dave.
I think I'm the one that has to endure it more than anyone. So it was a big result at the top of Combi 1 last week. Peel defeated second place Corinthians 2-0 at Douglas Road. George Rawlinson and Billy Kenyon got the goals. So that could have big implications at the title race. With leaders Russian winning 5-0 at home to Laxey, it means the Spaniards now have a 10-point lead at the top. Albeit having played 3 games more than Corinthians and 5 more than Old Boys. The two, Corinthians and Old Boys, got to play each other in the next few weeks. So that'll be a big match in the title race. But at the moment, Russian are looking good.
Okay.
Good result for Peel. Geordies are now up to sixth after a high scoring win over Colby at Glencountry Road. You mentioned it before. Johnny Myers helped himself to four goals. Joey Muller got two. Ryan Kelly and Mark Connor.
That's a strong list of goal scorers there, isn't it? You can tell a few of the first team games have been called off, can't you?
Joey Morland and Johnny Myers in the country.
And Billy Kenyuk and George Rawlinson, I think you'd be knocking on the first team appeal as well, wouldn't you?
Exactly. It's as you were at the top of Combi 2 after the top two sides won. Youth team maintained their 6-point gap, courtesy of a fine 7-2 win over fourth place Pulley. Martin Murphy, he's going to be a nightmare in training again this week, but he got himself to another four goals, one of which was the rebound from a penalty, which was saved. I think that footage was on Twitter earlier this week.
Oh, was it?
Dylan Parrish got two, Shane Kinraid got the other. Second place Oldcombe were 3-1 winners at home to Union Mills, Jared Culligan, that man Brian Ring again, and an own goal did the damage for them, and the Millers consolation was also an own goal. Now, you mentioned Moran before, some of their
bets.
Alexander Morley got a hat-trick, hat-trick for Moran. They beat Governors Athletic 7-1. Andrew Kane, Niall Gibney, Matt Davies, and the evergreen Julian Killip also got
Julian. You're confusing, you're crossing the stream.
Crossing legends.
Yeah. What a player that would be. Only good for 60 minutes, though.
I swear. Kimber will still score goals when he's like 90. He's just like...
Still come off after 60, though. Yeah. I used to be able to time my watch by it. Yeah. 60 minutes, off he comes. I always thought that you must have a pressing engagement after.
Well, no, he was actually talking about coming away on this trip. Cause, like, he'd be quite a decent Mountain Village footballer as well. He'd be a good goal poacher, wouldn't he? Mm. Lacking mobility. But he always scores goals.
Kimber was always one of them that made me feel mobile.
Yeah, yeah.
The odds in the head, isn't it?
We've actually got two Moran combi players in our team, Timo and Philly Jones.
Yeah. Timo's been there. He's flirted with the first team at times, hasn't he?
He's flirted with a lot of things. Yeah. No, he's a character as Timo. He's good value on these trips.
Have you, have we interrupted Comic Con now?
Yeah, but that's absolutely fine by me.
Go on.
Finish off. Only last bit is Foxdale and Michael shared four goals at Billy Goat. It was a good result for Michael, the bottom of the table, so it was a rare point for them. Jamie Keane and Ricky Newsham scored for Foxdale, and Chris Clegg and Jack Smith scored for
regular goal scorers for Clegg and Jack Smith.
Yeah.
There's only three Jack Smiths, though, isn't there? Something stupid like that.
Is that a champ?
No, I'm pretty sure there's two of them. One plays for Fox. One plays for Foxdale. One plays for Michael.
So. Is Tommy Cole still getting a game for Foxdale Combi? Swanee. Yeah, I know he was sniffing at the start of the season trying to get in, but he's. I think he was struggling to make that Combi, to be honest.
Selection policies are hard up there, I believe.
Yeah.
So now my favourite part of the week. Dave reads the weather.
Well, you've already alluded to it, but it's been a good week weather-wise.
That's
also good news. Yeah, there's absolutely no rain forecast for the next couple of days.
No rain forecast. You heard that here first. Yeah. No rain. If it rains, blame Dave and the Met Office.
Yeah, the Met Office. That's my source.
Right.
It will be a bit windy, but that's the other man. Yeah. So, the temperatures are near freezing, so fingers crossed the pitches won't get frozen.
Oh, God, that could be... Mm. Oh, so we've gone from waterlogged pitches to frozen pitches.
Either way, it's nice weather for Jager bombs.
There we go. Right, a bit of any other business. Lads, I don't know if you know this. Jersey, a bid for UEFA membership is up on Monday. There is the annual Congress.
Congress in Slovakia.
Yeah, in Bratislava. So they get a 5-minute pitch to the Congress, and then they have to secure 28 votes out of 55 of the UEFA members. Yeah. And then potentially they could be in UEFA by this time.
One of the UEFA executive committee was watching us last year, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great picture of him 9 in the morning meeting us and Timo with a pint in his hands before the game. And the guy trying to like move him out of shot.
So it'd be interesting to see what happens there. I've seen a lot of Jersey, the whole island seems to be behind them. I think they are realistically the chances. I don't think they're necessarily going to get through, but we'll have to be interesting to see if they then appeal again, go through CAS, the Court of Arbitration for Sport again.
Obviously, a lot of people over here, MIFA, watching on keenly.
Yeah, so obviously we'll have more on that next week. A bit of any other business that continues. There's Liam, do you see this lad? Liam Doyle played for his second game, for pre-season game for his new club, Nashville SC, against Chicago Fire this week, and one Bastian Schweinsteiger, once of Manchester United, and Bayern Munich, was in midfield, and it was a lovely selfie on Instagram, wasn't it?
was good. It was a really good camera work by
Liam. Who asked for it? Which one of the two?
I think it was Bastion. Yeah. You know, he's heard that Liam's played with the likes of Lee Dixon and stuff like that. So
He's played with a few good players.
Yeah. Drogba last season. Sean Wright Phillips.
Yeah, fair play to him getting out there. There's some good players over here, aren't there?
Maybe that could be next tour, America.
Some of the lads wouldn't get in the country, would they? They might have visa issues.
definitely visa issues.
Yeah.
Especially after the...
especially with some of our new signings.
Our last bit of any other business revolves around the League of Ireland and Shay Sharkey. Kicked off their the Sligo Rovers, his Sligo Rovers team, kicked off their League of Ireland campaign against his former club, Limerick Rovers, last week. Unfortunately, they lost 1-0. They're in action again tonight, 7:45, so if you can tear yourself away from St John's Colby, he's up there up against Derry City, another one of his former clubs. So good luck to Shay for the season ahead. But summer football, it's been mooted over here. I think it's ridiculous. What do you think, lads, summer football for the Isle of Man?
Well, Moran, for example, would have a nightmare. They always have a battle with the cricket club every single summer, so just for that reason, can't happen.
No.
There's a few clubs enjoy that winter break as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
Not playing for about 2 months.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, Foxdale were pretty much revolutionary in their ways. You know, all the professional clubs want 6 weeks off in the summer, in the winter now, and Foxdale have been doing it for years, haven't they?
I remember just like the horrible things, you've been out on the Friday, just looking at your phone or watching or listening to the radio, but that was back in the day. Wait till 12 o'clock, right, bloody hell. Manx radio's on. Is the game on? Please don't be on. It used to be a nightmare.
Right, thanks for coming in, lads. I hope it hasn't been too painful. Good luck with all the rest of your adventures. If you've got any sponsors that want to get in touch, you want to sponsor your kit or your coach or whatever.
Open to anything. We've got a decent exposure, terrible footballers, but it'll be seen in lots of places. We'll wear anything. You can sponsor anything. If you want to sponsor Neil Withers' underpants, for example, or Matthew Bell's Jägermeister.
Yeah.
Definitely. So what's the Facebook page for those interested?
Peel St German. Just search for that. We don't have very many likes because not many people like us, it looks like. So feel free to get on board. Some funny things on there.
I feel like it's a club ripe for an Instagram account as well.
You'd have to see
that. The Peel St German stories would be.
I'm not very tech savvy though. That's my problem. Yeah,
you don't want to be caught with roaming charges either.
Yeah, we want to get some young kids involved, don't we?
The tools are terrible, actually, aren't we? To be fair, on the old social media streams and stuff and that. So that could be a. And you
also need to find some kind of media officer somewhere, I think. Feel free
media
to apply.
Media liaison officer.
Yeah. Had to be all over
apply
that,
within.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, I think Andy's happy you just exclusively revealed how you do pronounce it. People say it's German.
Yeah,
you've been saying German all the time.
Well, yeah, but I asked before. Whatever you want to call it.
We're not fussy. As long as you invite us in and buy us some biscuits, make it a course, whatever you want.
Right, lads, thanks for coming in. Remember, you can listen to all the Manx Footy pods at audiobroom.com/channel/Manx Football, as well as on there iTunes. You subscribe now, Dave?
Of course I do. Dropped in last week when you were away in Middlesbrough. I couldn't wait.
It's
the highlight of my Saturday night. I'd have a few years
more about you. It says more about you, Dave, than it does about me.
Yeah.
All right, until next week.
Stop it out.